like wife stuff.
It's gonna be fun.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, here we go, people. Let's go.
Love that intro, JQ. Still love it. Here we go.
Timeless.
Words of Ray Charles. Let's make it do what it do, people.
Let's go.
We're going to make it do what it do, baby.
Yes, we are. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Look at Rob. Rob is awake, man. I love it. Today is, of course, December the 20th. We are literally making our way right into the holiday season, fellas, and want to welcome you. Hope you and your family have a great Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, all that stuff to you and yours in America. We're having fun, too. But officially, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, let's get this party started with two of my guys who I would personally vote in the Pro Bowl. You know what I'm saying? I would vote you guys in, man, because, you know, that's how it is.
I appreciate you.
Let's keep it going. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Let's start off with Mr. Jason.
How
you feeling this season, sir, bro? Yeah, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm good. My bank account ain't feeling too great with these kids and these gifts. But outside of that, I'm good. How you doing, bro?
They're going to return it to you later when they get older.
Yeah, that's right.
Balance is key, man. And the gifts keep getting bigger and bigger. Remember before, you were satisfied with, like, some smaller stuff, but now it's like you got, like, five or so gifts, and you, like, out. Like, but you want that too? Oh!
Man, this chick asked me.
I know my son. He wanted a laptop for his birthday 2 weeks ago. Not a game, a laptop.
This chick asked me for the new iPhone and a hoverboard. I said, "Are you crazy? I'm not Andre Peterson. I'm not rich. I can't buy you both them things."
Oh, I like it, JQ. Yeah, bro.
I know, man.
Hey, you gotta think twice.
Andre, man, DJing every rich white person in Atlanta's wedding.
Oh man, I receive that. Hey.
Oh, he said, "If they're the buck kids, it don't matter, right?"
Hey, I'm excited to see Spice and keep it going, man. So I can hang out. I just want to hang out with JQ, man. You know, in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, man. So that's what it's all about. But we're having fun.
Hey.
Rob, how you doing this evening?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Let's make it do what it do.
All right, let's have some fun, man. We always, as America, as you said, we have a good time, and everyone's in good spirits. So that's what we like to do for the show. If you want to call in and join your boys, we had a good call last week. So, again, much love to my boy from Jersey, Lou from Jersey. Fun times, and we always appreciate you guys. So
yes, sir.
The number to call into the show is always a 424.
We got Seton Hall on the show just for you, Lou.
That's right.
I see the Hall.
424-243-9519. Is the number, if I can get that out. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Find us on Facebook, 12th Man Sports, facebook.com/12thmansports, or Talking Sports with the 12th Man, and you'll find us. Guys, let's get this party started. So we were talking about the Pro Bowl during the show open, and it looks like the Pro Bowl selections are officially in. And I don't know if this is a surprise. I know JQ's not going to be happy about this. But Pittsburgh leads the NFL with 8 selections, and that's just a pretty amazing feat right now, too. I'll let you talk about that, JK. I'll throw out a trivia question if you guys know the team with the most selections for the Pro Bowl, too. So go ahead with that, JK. Give us your thoughts, and not to pick on you, bro, but kick us off, man.
Yeah, yada, yada, yada. They got 8. Oh, okay, that's great for them. Fantastic. Enjoy it. Who cares? I don't care. Nobody watches the Pro Bowl anyway. It sucks. That's all I want to talk about.
Wow. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I would agree that it is one of the worst all-star games in professional sports. And I understand it. Now, obviously, with the nature of football, it's a collision sport. And to have an all-star game is really kind of tough. guys don't want to tackle, guys don't want to get hurt. And so, I mean, it's a glorified touch football game. And but it's I'm more interested on who's voted in versus watching the game. You know, for me anyway, to see if guys were voted in. Some of these have contract related things related to making it to the Pro Bowl as well. So yeah, I'm more interested to see, you know, if guys deserve to get in that were voted in and who were snubbed. And for me, obviously, with Pittsburgh in eight, they're a very talented football team. Of course, you got Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, three guys very deserving. Looking at the quarterback situation, I don't have an argument from the AFC standpoint with Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, and Roethlisberger. The only other guy that I can think about who could have been there as well is Alex Smith. He had a pretty good year, even though we had a little slump in the middle of the season with Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But when you look at his numbers, he actually had a really good season as well. Of course, Kareem Hunt, you know, making it as a rookie. And we talked about Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy. I don't have anything to argue about over that with the running back position in the AFC.
Yeah.
JQ, Geno Atkins made it.
Oh, yeah, Geno and AJ. Them Bulldogs are presenting for us.
Ryan Shazier was voted in from the Steelers, too.
He deserved it. And I still feel bad for him. But, yeah, absolutely. He deserved it. He's a difference maker, for sure.
Why you feel bad?
I feel bad for the injury. I feel bad for that. I hate the Steelers. I think everybody knows I hate the Steelers. But, you know, it's tough for me to watch him play because I enjoy him playing from the Christmas Ohio State days. And to see him in that black and gold, it hurts my soul. It hurts my soul. The same way Rob does not like to see LSU in that black and red for Atlanta. I don't like to see Ohio State in that black and gold.
I know that Deion Jones got that INT at the end of the game from New Orleans and went to LSU.
Right. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Hey, man. Hey, but I'm an LSU.
Well, you know, Alvin Kamara was from Atlanta.
Yeah, he was. Yep, that's okay. I agree with you as far as that the admissions too, guys, and it's pretty good to see. I agree with you, Rob. I think it's good to see like new talent and people that you think that should deserve to get in there. I was kind of sad to see that Robbie Anderson didn't make it. He made some good little pleas. An interesting setup from the Jets. Great wide receiver doing his thing. And I'm kind of glad that we're not
Temple.
In a state either where you from Temple, yeah, that you want to see a lot of representation from all teams too. So, but good to see some new players and some new blood in there too. And then, it, like you said, Rob, it is a glorified, and both you guys agreed, it's a glorified, definitely touch football game too. But we understand, violent sport, all the good jazz. All right, guys. Anything else as far as that you want to talk about Pro Bowl-wise or anything like that, that you guys have, Tom Brady's 13th career? Yeah, good. Go ahead.
No, Tom Brady. I'm interested to see if it reverses back to a worse touch football game. This is why. Because the big reason why guys went, right, was to get that trip to Honolulu. And yeah, they're rich, and a lot of those guys still came from nothing. And if you get a free trip, all this pays for you and your family for the most part. They go to Hawaii. That's a lot different than going to Orlando. So I wonder how many guys go and play for real. How many guys pull out? Like, I'm not going to go risk this to Rob's point to go to Orlando. I go to Orlando anytime I feel like it. It's not the same as going to Honolulu. So I'm going to be interested to see how that impacts people's decisions and whether or not they're going to go play or not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, every year, if you look at the last 10 years of the Pro Bowl, you always had a lot of alternates that are going in place of some of the people that are voted in. So I expect more of the same this season as well. You're going to have a lot of people pulling out, even with minor injuries of this game. And, of course, the teams that go to the Super Bowl, their players won't go. So, obviously, you're going to still have a lot of alternates in this game, too.
That'd be crazy. What if Pittsburgh, I hate to say that, but what if Pittsburgh makes it to the Super Bowl and you got to replace eight spots? So is it really going to be a Pro Bowl when you're, like, to the Super Bowl alternate? Like, that's pretty bad.
Now, I do know one of the alternates is Jared Goff from the Rams, and Carson Wentz was voted in, and he's injured. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, that's one that you're going to see replaced right there. Jared Goff will be in for Carson Wentz.
Right. Yeah, That's going to be good. No, like I said, I agree with you, too. And there is something about going to Hawaii, man, because, again, I had to family there, so we had an opportunity to go to the Pro Bowl, which was the coolest thing ever. So that was like Tony Gonzalez's last year, so I didn't forget. And it's funny because if you think how big that island is, and all the people, like, people came out of nowhere to go to the game. We're like, where do these people come from? But it was definitely memorable, and everyone remembers that we were on the island and seeing people like regular, like guys. It was so cool to see a lot of NFL guys just hanging out, man. So it's probably one of the coolest experiences I've ever been a part of. Because again, like you said, Rob, it is going to Hawaii, it is being there, and just that uniqueness of, you know, we're going like so far, and you know, you bring your family out there, it's a whole trip, it's a unique experience. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, it kind of sucks because the stadium is not that nice. I'm going to tell you that straight up. I mean, if the NFL could spend all this money and do a great stadium in Hawaii, that would probably be better. But I think that they should really consider that because at this juncture, you know, that is kind of a special thing as far as, and I know I'm talking a lot about that, but that's something I would say, just experience as a, you know, not only a family there, but just something that's kind of cool as an NFL fan. It was really, really cool to see that. So, you know, they could do it real big, have NFL experience. I mean, that would be hitting, guys. I'm just saying. So, anyway.
Yeah. Even to be honest with you, that stadium in Orlando is not that great either. From an NFL caliber stadium, that Camping World Stadium in Orlando, it's not up to NFL standards either. And so that's pretty surprising that, you know, I know Orlando is Disney World, Mickey Mouse, Big Fat Rat, but it's still not a really good stadium from an NFL standpoint either. I mean, you know, why not take them to somewhere like Miami or San Diego? For that, at least you got San Diego's pretty close to being the NFL state. Him and the Hell of Chargers just playing in the last season. But you know, I guess it's an opportunity to take the kids to see the Big Fat Rat.
Let me ask this last question. I know we spent a lot of time on this, but what if it did become kind of a touch football game? I mean, is that still just as bad, you think? Or, I mean, how do you? Because you don't want injuries. This is your, you know.
Just do a skill competition.
Gotcha.
I think that would be cool to see him, like, you know, try to throw it in a bucket for 50 yards, you know, the top quarterbacks or who's the fastest wide receiver or running back. You know what I mean? Like, remember when they used to have that skills competition and they still do it somewhat, but, I mean, just do that. I think guys would do that as opposed to trying to get hit again after playing, you know, four preseason games and then a 16-game season. I just don't think, to the point, like Rob said, you know, nobody wants to get hurt. And it happened to us, Tyler Eifert. The only person to get hurt is the damn Cincinnati Bengal. And it cost him the beginning part of the next year. And it's like, is it worth it? I mean, at some point, can it just be like being named to the All-American team, which you don't really play the game? But if you got like a little cool skills competition, or even some flag football where you know going into it, it's flag football, touch football, as opposed to being
– I mean, you can get hurt no matter what you're doing. Yeah, again, you can get rushed no matter what, too, again, but – on this, or hurt.
And Drew Brees got hurt in the game, so probably, guys probably don't remember this, several years ago. He got hurt and it was out 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, it didn't affect him because it was the last game of the season. So he was ready by the following season. But he's even gotten hurt in the game and had a 4 to 6 week recovery period. Wofford just upset North Carolina, 79-75.
Whoa, wow, bro. Wow, okay. Well, we're going to have to console Rob, so it's all good, man. So,
yeah, I know he's not happy.
Anyway. All right. Rob, you going to be okay, bro? You going to be able to focus, man?
Oh, yeah. We'll be all right. I got a man up.
All right, Zach. Let's have some fun here. So, next question, Rob, not to throw it to you, I got to make you get your mind off of this. Is Tom Brady the league's MVP? Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I know this sounds like a broken record, but I can't think of anybody else to give it to. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of controversy behind that win over Pittsburgh this past weekend. I know that was J.Q. Love, two of his favorite teams playing, the Patriots and the Steelers. But, you know, obviously Carson Wentz is now hurt. He's another guy I thought was a very strong, candidate. I don't think he's going to get it, of course, now. I can't think of anybody else to give it to but Tom Brady. And then when you look at, we talked about Pittsburgh has 8 Pro Bowlers. New England only has 4. I mean, he's got Rob Gronkowski. Sucks that fullback made it, James Devlin. And, they only got 4 Pro Bowlers on the team. So they're not talking about a team that has, you know, filled with a lot of talent like that Steelers team have. And so you have to give that to Tom Brady. And I know it sounds like a broken record, but who else do you give it to?
Yeah, no, I agree. Everybody else has gotten hurt. I mean, Gurley, that monster game was starting to make a case, but I think it's too little too late, like you said, especially with Wentz. I think Wentz was his closest competitor, and maybe Antonio Brown, but now Brown is not going to play because of the calf injury in that game. So you're looking at everybody else that would have challenged it for, and they all are hurt or on IR. He's just done for the season. So, he's almost like a Pyrrhic victory. You know, like he's just the only guy left standing due to all the injuries. He's going to win. I mean, you don't have to like it, but it's going to happen.
Yep. You can't give it to an injured player, though? I mean, is that the case? Is that what they're not going to give it to an injured player?
Well, no. You got to finish the year, in my opinion. I mean, unless you're just sitting out the last game. But you're talking about Carson Wentz is going to miss about 3 or 4 games here down the stretch of the season. And in my opinion, you just can't give it to him with that being said. So, I mean, we're talking about the Pro Bowl issue here. Rob Gronkowski. Matthew Slater makes it for the Patriots as a special teamer. And then he got a fullback. So you're talking about a special teamer and a fullback, two guys probably hardly ever plays. So technically, it's just he and Rob Gronkowski as Pro Bowlers on his team, and he's leading them to an 11-2 record.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
All right. Good call. All right, gentlemen. Well, that's enough about that topic. Let's talk about some NFL predictions here, and let's kick it right off. The Buccaneers are reeling right now. And I say that with a gleam of my eye because, again, I don't know why they play us barely won that game. It's just a whole other conversation. But they literally are at the Panthers, and you talk about a pretty interesting game here. This may be Dirk Cutter's career right here. And just to let you know, JQ, I was literally at the pub or at my trivia place, and they're like, man, the guy, Tampa Bay fan, he's like, man, Matt Ryan's going to make Mike Smith lose his job twice. And it was so hilarious. But he was serious. So I think that this is literally Dirk Cutter's job on the line right here with this particular game. You hear about the infighting between Jameis and him, and is it true or not? This may be the last hurrah, but what do you think about this game, Buccaneers at Panthers? And I'm going to start with you at JQ on this.
Sorry. Yeah, but, well, he's going to lose his job, Dan, because I'm going with Carolina. And that Tampa Bay defense is just beat up. I mean, three of us might be able to play middle linebacker for them right now or in the secondary. And I just don't think they're going to be able to withstand that basically a college offense they're running in Carolina, but it's very effective with Cam and basically McCaffrey running the read option and sprinkling in some Olsen and some punches. I just don't see them winning that game. Yeah, Tampa just plays Atlanta crazy close for no good reason at all. But, you know, and this, you know, to me – you know, you fired your coach and then you brought Dirk Cutter in to be the head coach after he was offensive coordinator. So you fired the dude that brought him in and then let him be the coach. You know, sometimes karma's a beat, and I don't know what else they could do. And if you watch that Monday night game, they talked about it. Jameis Winston's shoulder is not right. And when you have a sprained AC joint, they showed the clips of him not being able to make those deep throws. And I just don't think he's been healthy, and that's a big part of it. And if he's fighting with the head coach, I mean, you draft somebody number one, you're making your franchise quarterback. More often than not, unless he's just pulling his pants out and pissing in the front office, you're not going to get rid of the quarterback. You're going to make a change to find a head coach that can work with that quarterback. So if it's Dirk versus Jameis, Dirk loses, and so do the Buccaneers. Carolina wins.
There it is. Good call. Good points. Go ahead, Rob. Wow. Good point, JQ. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's been playing really well here over the last couple of weeks, a couple of nice home victories. I definitely think they take care of business and beat Tampa. Although I personally thought Jameis Winston had one of his better games of his career.
I agree.
The other night.
Yeah.
And against Atlanta. That's about the best I've seen him in a while because you were almost on the wonder if he was worth that first pick. But I think he showed you in that game that the potential was still there. He was stepping up in the pocket, making accurate throws. So it was one of his better games, I thought, that I personally seen in his career. But that being said, they're going to lose on the road against Carolina. Too many injuries. Gerald McCoy, I'm not even sure if he's going to be back. He didn't play the other night. Yeah, you got to like Carolina. As much as I hate to say it, I think Carolina's going to win this game at home.
That's crazy. Yep. All right. Go ahead. Let's talk about the next game. This is all you lay up for you, JQ. Man, Lions at Bengals, man. Bro, what's going on?
Stop it. I don't even know why this is in the list. Detroit is going to be Cincinnati by about 3 touchdowns.
Sorry.
It's just true. They all banged up. They're banged up on defense, and they're not a great team anyway. And then you take away, you know, probably their best cornerback is Richard Shannon and Pac-Man. You lose Perfect. Kirkpatrick is still banged up. Nixon is probably still not going to play. He has yet to clear the concussion protocol. The offensive line is trash. I just don't see them stopping Matthew Stafford. I really don't. I think Detroit wins this comfortably. They have to be looking like, oh, yes, we got a bye week.
Oh, no. Is this it for Black Jesus? Is this it for Marvin Lewis?
Oh, yeah, man. When you saw that text finally, he's a wrap. And if he could take Andy Dalton with him, I would dance, and I would put it on YouTube and Facebook and watch me dance at that announcement.
Oh, my goodness.
You got a loaded quarterback draft. You never know.
Oh, yeah, they ain't going to do it. Oh. They ain't going to do it.
All right. Well, we'll
yeah,
see.
But I agree. I think the Lions are going to roll and win this game. JQ knows the team better than us, the Cincinnati Bengals. And Detroit, actually, mathematically still in the playoffs. I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to win this game on the road against Cincinnati. I'm going to go 28-10.
I don't know.
At Saints.
Yeah.
Ooh, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Detroit might make it, and this is why. I think, I'm sorry, Dre, and I'm pulling up for the Falcons, but the way that that officiating happened in that Thursday night game and that nasty taste in New Orleans' mouth, and you see Drew Brees talking about, I need the fans to be there from the first opening whistle to the end. New Orleans is getting ready to be fired up on Sunday for this game against Atlanta. And if you're going to struggle against a depleted Tampa Bay team on the road, what are you going to do in that dome against New Orleans and Drew Brees in that running attack? I hope that I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think New Orleans gives it to Atlanta. I really do. I think that's going to get bad. I think Matt Ryan's going to make some more bad decisions because we're going to have to play from behind. The New Orleans is going to be fired up for that game. The only way Atlanta stays in that game is if New Orleans is too fired up and they make minimal mistakes, you know, 15-yard penalties and holding and just being too aggressive. But if they can rein that in a little bit, all bad for the Falcons this weekend. That Carolina game we're going to, I think, is going to be a playing game for Atlanta.
Wow. Rob.
I like the Saints in this one. And I actually don't think the Saints played that well this past Sunday either, actually, against the Jets. The Jets really hung around in that game, and the Saints turned over the ball like three times and kept the Jets in that football game. And they finally sealed it in the end with a 50-yard touchdown run by Mark Ingram. I mean, that score was 24-19 with a couple of minutes left to go in the game. And so they didn't play that well either. I think both teams are coming off some lackluster victories. But I do think the Saints and the noise level of the Superdome goes up 10 notches when the Falcons are in town. So I do think this will be a win for the Saints, and I'm going to go 28-20 Saints.
I don't think it's going to be that close. That's a trap game for New Orleans last week. That's a trap game. They were looking forward to Atlanta. They've been waiting on Atlanta since that Thursday night game. I believe that.
Yeah, it depends on which team shows up too, JQ, because I don't know what team is going to show up personally, because, you know, the Tampa team shows up, we lose. If the team that beat the Green Bay Packers is there, but I don't know. So I can see that actually happening. But, again, I hope it's closer than that. But, you know, the Saints probably owe us one for sure, especially with Sean Payton doing choke signs and stuff like that too, man. So we'll see how that plays out for sure, man. So, yeah, they're probably waiting for
I hope
for
you're
sure.
right, JQ.
Yeah, Bills. Bills at Patriots for this one. What about this one, Rob?
It's another one. As JQ said, why is it even on the list? The Patriots are going to win this game.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, Buffalo is 8-6. They got a winning record. They're in the playoff hunt. Actually, they're number 6 seed, but
the
moment.
It's
but
right
still,
out.
This game's not going to be close. New England 31-10.
Yeah, agreed.
31.
You just stack the box and make Tyrod Taylor beat you. He's not going to take any aggressive shots. You stack that box to stop LeSean McCoy. Tom Brady does what Tom Brady does to Buffalo and the rest of the AFC East. New England wins going away.
Bro, and I got to give you this, Rob. I mean, I don't know if this was a whiskey. Nothing against you, Rob, so I appreciate you putting the tops together. The game you talk about
Absolutely.
Is San Francisco at Jacksonville. I mean, that's going to be an interesting game, bro. I think, you know, because freaking, you know, I know it's a bad squad, but Jimmy Garoppolo's been playing well, bro. And this is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be an interesting game, man, because this is, you know, going into the season, a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That San Francisco team is going to be really dangerous. I know it's,
Stop
you know,
it.
Like I said, I'm just saying. I mean, I got to throw that out there, honestly, but that squad's got to be, I am telling you this, okay?
No,
I'm not trying to be
Yes, you are, because you always got the West Coast love you try to throw out there. West Coast teams going to play on the East Coast.
Because he's flying to California in a couple of days.
Right. You know, West Coast
teams.
You
don't want to a good
normally,
time before you get there.
Normally, I do, like, try to butter up some things. But I was looking at some stuff, and I was like, you know what? That's going
to
be a very interesting game.
You trying to get some brownie points?
I'm not trying
Absolutely.
To get any brownie points.
You're trying to get some cake
points.
You're getting the whole thing.
I am not trying to get any. I'm literally talking about it's going to be a good game because, again, yeah, I mean, the freaking 4-10, it's. But you got to look at the fact that this San Francisco team, they've got a lot of good players, and the way that offensive Garoppolo's been playing, that's going to be pretty interesting. And then you got the surging, you know, we're going to talk about Jacksonville in a quick second too. The defense's been fantastic. Blake Bortles is playing well. This is going to be a pretty interesting game. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to talk radio here. I just think it's going to be a good game. Rams and Titans.
Okay.
We'll talk about this real quick. And, you know, obviously the Rams are certain. The Rams got a lot of Pro Bowl players as well. Jared Goff's playing well. Titans are in an interesting place because, you know, again, you had Marcus Mariota and what's going to happen with them. And they just got beat by the aforementioned 49ers. But what do you think about this game, JQ?
Yeah, I just don't see Tennessee winning this game. The Rams just have way too much. And then they get Robert Woods back
mm-hmm.
last week, and he didn't look like he missed a beat. They just have too much. They're playing at such a ridiculous level. And we talked about Tennessee, and mea culpa for me. I thought Tennessee would be one of those teams. We talked about teams that didn't make the playoffs, making the playoffs the next year. I really anticipated Marcus Mariota taking that next step, and I really don't think he has. And I just don't think this is the game for him to come out and say, yeah, I made that step. I mean, I think it might be closer than it probably should be, but I think the Rams still win. You just keep feeding Todd Gurley and let Goff play extra pass off to those wide receivers. And The defense has been a little suspect here recently, but I just don't know if Tennessee has the firepower to take advantage of that, so to speak. So I'm going to go with the Rams by about 10.
Gotcha. Rob?
Man, the Rams opened up a can on the Seahawks this past weekend. Ooh. I didn't see that one coming on the road.
Yeah, they did.
Seattle. The Rams got it. I mean, they seem like they got a lot of things going for them right now. I do not see them going on the road and losing this game at all. I think the Rams put up 31 to Tennessee, 17, two-touchdown victory by the Rams on the road.
And that disparity between the NFC and the AFC, I think, shows up when you watch these games. I think the NFC is just a better conference this year, and it's going to show up when you have these inter-conference games going on. Yeah, the Rams are just tough.
Yeah,
when you look at the AFC, you got New England, the Steelers, and almost everybody else.
Yep.
You might can kind of put Jacksonville just outside of that. You know,
yeah.
maybe the Chiefs team just because of their defense.
Chiefs playing well, too. Yeah. Chiefs playing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still don't trust them. I don't think any of us trust them.
I don't trust them.
We don't trust Bortles,
but
we trust the Jacksonville defense. So I'm with you. They're right below that tier of Pittsburgh and New England. And it requires, like, it's hard. You can make arguments say they're in that tier because they gave Pittsburgh the business in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, you got to give Jacksonville, you got to put some respect on their name, like Birdman said.
Let's wrap this up. Seahawks at Cowboys. Cowboys are going to be getting back Ezekiel Elliott and everything like that. It's going to be interesting as well, bro. So, what do you think about this one, Rob?
I like the Cowboys in this game. I mean, based on what I've seen from Seattle the last couple of weeks, they go on the road, lose to Jacksonville, and then they get spanked at home. Oh, man. And, you know, Todd Gurley, I mean, I'm not sure Zeke Elliott is going to have the kind of performance that Todd Gurley did, but I think it's going to be more the same. You know, Cowboys, that offensive line, that running game, Dak Prescott making smart decisions with the football. I think the Cowboys win this game, and Seattle's giving up a lot of points. They're giving up a lot of points here lately. I'm going to say 31-21 Cowboys.
I feel like that's the safe pick, but given what happened last week, I think Seattle comes out so fired up and pissed off. If they get KJ right back and Wagner's hamstring is a little bit better because he was really slow in that game. He just couldn't do anything against Todd Gurley in the middle of that defense. I feel like this is a statement game for them. And I think they were like, don't write us off quite yet. And Tyron Smith, I don't know if he's playing. And we've seen what happens when he doesn't play. I think Seattle, I think Russell Wilson finds a way in the last drive to win by a field goal. Blair Walsh kicks a game-winning field goal in Dallas. They win.
That
yeah,
was
with Tyron
very
Smith don't play, it's almost like having Andre Peterson as a left tackle.
Right.
Hey, I'd hold it down, bro. Man, if he had me in that tackle, bro, I'd be tripping, I'd be biting. Man, I'd be saying the quarterback.
Come on, man.
That's my quarterback.
Come on,
that's my quarterback, man. That's my quarterback.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
You are an idiot.
Like, that 5'9" left tackle out there.
That'd be the worst left tackle ever. 5'10¾". Man.
That'd be like, pretty bad. That
Doug Flutie out there. Like, what's this dude doing? I'm like, yo, y'all better have the tight end chip or something. This ain't happening.
That's just, not Doug Flutie.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. Let's talk about this. You done messed up, Aaron. Has Aaron Rodgers peaked as his question? And I'm not sure about this question, Rob. I'm going to throw it to you first. I'm not sure if the question is talking about him peaked for his career or just for the season. And I want to get some more clarification on that, too, because I definitely think he rushed himself back way too soon. Really good, gutty performance. Didn't have to come back. I know he kind of wanted to be the savior of Rome. And just unfortunately, just it was unnecessary for him to come back. And since the Packers aren't going anywhere, unfortunately, sorry, Packer Nation. So obviously, let him kind of put him on the shelf here and kind of reset. But what's the kind of focus of the question, Rob, if you want to figure about that? Peaking for career now, or what are you going with that, if you will?
Louisiana Tech 51-10 in the Frisco Bowl. Over
SMU. Yeah, unfortunately, too. Yeah, that's disgusting.
51-10, but anyway, this basically this question comes from Greg Jennings, one of the former wide receivers of the Packers that played with Aaron Rodgers. He made the comment that Aaron Rodgers has peaked, and so there's been some talk about that. Is it true and things of that nature? I think Aaron Rodgers is still very much capable. Potentially leading the Packers to another Super Bowl. I'm not saying he will, but he definitely has the potential, and he's capable. Obviously, he was rusty this past weekend, 3 INTs after missing I don't know how many games. And he probably, and I agree, I thought the Packers should have just rested him and just had him out for the season. Kyle Kuzma, 38 points tonight. Man.
Yes, sir.
They ended the Rockets' 13-game winning streak.
Wow.
But I definitely think he's capable of still leading that team. So I don't, even if he has peaked, if he stays at this level where he has peaked, I think he's still capable. I mean, this is still an all-pro quarterback and still one of the best in the game. I mean, there was a couple of seasons here in the last few years where he didn't look Aaron Rodgers-esque, but he has come back and had some really good performances as well. So I still think the potential is still there. He's still dangerous. If you give him a running game, an offensive line, and a defense, I guess you can almost give any quarterback that, and they're going to be competitive.
I was going to say.
But if you give Aaron Rodgers that.
That's the formula.
Yeah. But if you give Aaron Rodgers all of that on top of having Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I know what you're saying.
But, you know, he's played most of these years with an average defense, an average running game, and an average offensive line. I mean, let's be real. And they'll still go out there and win 10, 11 games because of Aaron Rodgers. And if you give him two of those three possibly, you're talking about a team that still will have the opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl. And we forget just last year they was in the NFC Championship game against Atlanta. And so he's definitely capable, in my opinion, of still leading a team.
10 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is, you got to understand that coming from Greg Jennings, as soon as he got let go by the Packers, he's been throwing all kind of shade at Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay organization because he didn't like leaving that cush spot he was in. So you got to take that with a grain of salt when he says that. But I'm with you, Rob. If this is going to be him peaking and he can stay at this level for two or three more years, I mean, there's only a handful of teams that wouldn't trade their quarterback tonight for Aaron Rodgers on IR for hopes from next week for next year. Like they would. Mm-hmm. He's still that dude. He was just rusty. You could tell. I think his arm strength wasn't all the way there because of his shoulder. He underthrew some balls that you never see Aaron Rodgers underthrow. So you know they come back and they regroup. I really like that Aaron Jones kid at running back. He just has a different dynamic and ability to hit holes that Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams don't have. So I think if they would let him just be that guy, be the workhorse, and you just kind of let, you know, Ty be an H-back kind of player, and Aaron Rodgers stays healthy with that wide receiver group they have. The only problem is I think Devontae, I don't know if he wants to go somewhere else and be the guy and still be behind Jordan Nelson and Cobb, because Devontae Adams has been a bona fide stud outside of getting just, you know, cheap-shotted. So twice this year. So yeah, I take Aaron Rodgers. He's still very much elite, and I don't think he's peaked. I think he still has a lot of good football left ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, good calls, gentlemen. All right, so let's talk about Saxonville. I love it, man. And what a difference a year makes in the fact that you get rid of your coach, Coach Bradley. The next thing you know, Doug Marone, it's amazing what he's been doing right now too. And I don't know if it's a maturing of, you know, Blake Bortles, but good drafts. Man, Jacksonville looks like the team to beat, man. So what's all about this? What do you think about this in the defense, JT?
Yeah, man, listen. Those two teams we talked about, Pittsburgh and New England, they both praying that the other team knocks Jacksonville off so they don't have to face them. Now, they ain't going to say that out loud, but you're talking about, you know, Paul Posluszny, Miles Jack, Dante Fowler, Calais Campbell, Jalen Ramsey. That defense, Malik Jackson, that defense is
fire, ridiculous.
They are just playing out of their minds, just young, outside of Posluszny. But just young and able to get to the ball. They got a nice mix of veterans and Campbell, of course, as well, on that defense where they just have a swagger to them. And I hate to use that term because it's been so destroyed over the last couple of years. But for them, to me, I think that's what you have to say. They've got that Seattle defense kind of swagger to them. And they just fly to the ball and they take your head off and they tell you about it. So you got to give hats off to Jacksonville for assembling a very good defense. But that being said, they go as far as Blake Bortles takes them because Blake Bortles throws three or four interceptions. You can't keep your defense out in the field that long. But if he can be the Blake Bortles he's been the past couple of weeks with that defense, man, look out. That Jacksonville team is dangerous.
Rob?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And all of those first-round picks on defense has finally paid off. When you look at the Jalen Ramseys, of course, Dante Fowler missed his rookie season because of an injury. And then you make some smart free agent signings with Calais Campbell, who leads the AFC in sacks, by the way, with 12.5. And then, of course, you know, the Malik Jackson pick. So they've made some really good picks. And you hear the mayor of Jacksonville, Lenny Curry, he's the one that officially declared Calais Campbell the mayor of Saxonville. And obviously, Calais Campbell leads the AFC with 12.5 sacks. I mean, you got Dante Fowler with about 7 sacks at the season as well. And so they're having a really good year as far as getting to the quarterback. Jalen Ramsey on the back end of that defense has been phenomenal and deservingly so was voted to the Pro Bowl. So obviously, from a defensive standpoint, they're forcing turnovers. They're shutting teams down from scoring. So they've been phenomenal. And then, of course, when Leonard Fournette has played, they've been able to run the football pretty effectively and have a ball control. It's almost like a perfect marriage. Their offense, ball control, take care of the football to go with a dominating defense that they have. And then from a defensive standpoint, the thing that gives them a chance is defensively, they are better than New England and Pittsburgh when it comes to the defensive side of the football. But, as JQ mentioned, can Blake Bortles beat Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs?
That's the question. Yep, that's the thing. 100% agree. All right, gentlemen, we got about 6 minutes here left here. Let's talk about this interesting Steve Sarkisian. We're going to do the fantasy shout-outs, and we're going to wrap it up with the OT here. But really quickly, let's talk about Steve Sarkisian.
We can skip the fantasy shout-outs this week.
No, you can't.
No, we're not.
No, don't skip those.
No, we're not. We ain't skip none of those. We're going right into that, bro. I was going to do that first, but I want to get this in here real quick.
I had to take my ass whooping like a man.
Yeah. You better talk about that. You better talk about it.
Hey,
let's talk about Steve.
That would hurt this week.
Actually, let's do the fantasy shout-outs right now. Let's do that right now. Go ahead, Rob. Fantasy shout-outs, bro.
I wasn't ready, man. You started talking about something else.
Fantasy shout-outs. 5 minutes, man. Fantasy shout-out. Fantasy shout-out.
All right, here we go. Let's get it over with. League number one, congrats to my co-host, JQ, Ohio Players. Man, he opened up a can on my team. 218. I ain't never seen nobody put up that many points in a fantasy league. 218-68 over my team. Black and gold, 97.4. I was in first place all year. He knocked me out of the playoffs. And going against Gentilly Hot Sauces in the championship game this week. So that should be a pretty intriguing matchup. I see y'all been talking some noise back and forth to each other. So yeah, that should be interesting in the championship game. In league number two, congrats to JQ again. Had the biggest win of the week, 182.74 over ATL Black Belt, 72.28. In that league, Matthew Fleur-DeLis in Indianapolis is going against Willie E.P. Diablos from El Paso, Texas. They're going to be competing against each other in the championship game this coming week. League number three, Andre had the biggest win of the week. His team, Andre's Rise Up Falcons, 139.24 to 77.22 over the Kings team. And JQ's team is still competing for the championship that week in that league against Ricardo Pelican Fly from Austin. They're going to be competing in the championship this week in that league. League number four, my team, Purple Knight, had the biggest win of the week over Baby Got Backfield, 140.84 to 119.52. My team, the Purple Knights, going against Andre's team in the championship game this week in that particular league. And then fantasy basketball, the champ is here, 7-1 over I'm So Harden. The champ is here, James from New Orleans, the biggest win of the week. Also, Chester from New Orleans, 7-1, passed the rock over Madhouse on Madison. And Ronald, also from New Orleans, St. Pelicans. His team's in first place with a 50-20-2 record. Those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week.
It was 5-3. Yeah. I was able to pull that out, too, over you, too, for fantasy basketball, too. That was pretty good, man. So fun times for sure, bro.
Yeah, that was crazy. It makes me nervous about this week because when you go for that big score, it's hard to do that 2 weeks in a row. We just went nuts.
Yeah,
and I was sitting there watching, like,
yeah.
I know Rob was like, come on, JQ, what is going on? So,
man.
Like, you want to get to the championship game, but you don't feel like you fired all your bullets in 1 week. So I'm super nervous about that, you know what I mean? Because it's hard to come back to 218. It's like, you know, what's a good score after you go for 218 in the semifinals? So, yeah I'm sorry, Rob. I still love you, bro. But they just went nuts. You just ran into a buzzsaw this week.
Hey, you played to win
the
game.
There you go.
Yeah. And my guy that was ready, was literally –
I've had some 180-point weeks, but, man, 218?
Yeah, we went slap off.
Did you have a girl in your squad in that league, JQ, or
no? I had Kareem Hunt, but I had Kareem Hunt and Cam Newton, and they went for like 100 points between them.
Yeah, that's true. Man, that was nuts. my team lost. I was like literally in the first place the whole season. Freaking the guy that I played against had Todd Gurley. That pretty much killed him. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So
Todd Gurley was bananas.
That's crazy.
I felt Andre's pain too. Like I said, we were both in first place all year. Lost
first place
the
whole
playoffs.
Year. That's crazy. Anyway, all right, Rob, we got about a minute and 20 seconds. Go ahead and set up the OT portion, sir.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in. We still got a lot to talk about here. We're going into our OT portion. Got some NFL, got some NBA. We're going into our OT portion. So click on the same link on tomorrow. You get to hear all that exciting information that we have for you. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back on the air next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, for our friends in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time. And for our friends in the Bay Area, that's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you don't want to miss it. And our friends in Maui, that's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian Time. Aloha. You don't want to miss us. We're getting right to the heart, the end of the regular season of the NFL. So we got some playoff football coming up. Obviously, we're getting to the thick of the college bowl games, too, getting closer to the playoffs of the college football season. So lots going on in the sports world. You don't want to miss any of these shows. So definitely tune in. Good night, people.
Absolutely. I'll be dialing in from Cincinnati next week. And I know Dre will be in California, right? So that's going to be fun and interesting. Mm-hmm. Appreciate everybody for listening to the show and downloading the podcast, listening to the OT. I'll let you later.
Yes. Good deal. Yeah, I'll be flying back on that Wednesday, so we'll see how that plays out for sure. So good call. All right, gentlemen, we're officially out of the OT portion. Let's talk about an interesting topic here in Atlanta, and I'm not sure why Robbie included this, but, hey, I love to talk about the Falcons. And Steve Sarkisian, and I guess the question is about the offense, and has it been some challenges with him? And I'm going to let you guys kind of talk from a bird's-eye perspective of the inconsistency. And start off with you, Rob. I love whenever you talk about the Falcons. So go ahead, bro. Tell me your thoughts about this.
Well, obviously, I don't get to see as much as the Falcons as probably the two of you all do living in Atlanta. But just from my observations going from last year to this season, I mean, the Falcons' offense last season was unstoppable. I mean, it would look like every week they were putting up 40-something or at least 30-something points every single week. And to go into this season with practically the same personnel and there's just so much inconsistency, and the talent is still there, and it's still a scary football team because the talent is there. And you're starting to see Devontae Freeman starting to get into a little bit of a rhythm too. But, you know, the difference to me has been the offensive coordinator. What else can you put it on? I know the offensive line has been a little bit more inconsistent this year as well. And we've seen in previous years when the offensive line is bad, Matt Ryan tends to struggle too, and probably more so for a lot of quarterbacks if you're getting inconsistency on the offensive line. But I think it's the easiest thing to do is to put it on Steve Sarkisian when you look at how dominant they were on the offensive side of the football last season. I mean, every single week, I mean, they were putting up 30 and 40-something points regardless who they're playing. They did it in the playoffs. They got off to the hot start against the Patriots, sort of cooled down a little bit. But to me, it's pretty obvious that's the difference between last season and this season.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something that's probably not, you know, politically correct. But Steve Sarkisian might need to start drinking again because his offensive play calling as a sober play caller is not very good. Like, he was really good when he was on the bottle, and then when he stopped drinking, I'm just being honest. If you look at what he's doing, it's
Nick, keep speaking from
awful.
Experience.
Hey, you watch out. I'm just saying. To me, it's twofold. He's not calling good games to me when I watch it. It's very inconsistent. Like you talked about Devontae Freeman, I think a lot of times he force feeds Coleman and Freeman to force rotations as opposed to sometimes riding the hot hand in the back that's playing the best. And then the other piece of it as well is we got to talk about Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's deep throws are not what they were last year. They were able to score all those points last year because they didn't have to drive the ball 8, 9, 10 plays every time to get in the end zone. He could hit Julio for 60 yards, and it was like, boom, 7 points. And he was doing that like every week, or at least 3 out of 4 weeks in a month. And you see it now, it's like, oh, just missing. Oh, just missing. Oh, just missing. And it's like that piece of it is when you can score those points on those big explosive plays, it takes a lot of pressure off of the offense to have to drive the ball for a 7-minute drive, so to speak. So Sark deserves a lot of the blame, but some of that has to be Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is not playing like the MVP that he played last year. Something is off with his timing and his deep throws. Those big explosive plays are not happening this year.
Good calls. I don't know how much time you guys got because I can talk about this for about a good hour, honestly. But
we know.
Got two perspectives. I got two perspectives, and if you indulge me in this, and I'll get your thoughts. Because one thing I found out, and it's pretty interesting, is that Steve Sarkisian, he's not calling his offense. He's calling Kyle Shanahan's offense. That's number one. And when I say that, it's like he's calling an offense he's not even familiar with. I mean, he's learned it, but he's kind of picking and choosing to fill his way out as far as his offense. So that's what I think. Also, I agree with you both in that Matt Ryan is taking a step back. But I think the problem is whenever you gave Matt a lot of power, and this is what I mean about this, because, you know, whenever you have somebody that can kind of see the forest for the trees and they're like, hey, Matt, pick your plays. And he's like, well, I'm picking this play. I don't like this play. There's a lot of plays that we haven't called that I watched the 49ers games. I'm like, we used to call that play. We don't call that play anymore, whether Matt didn't like it or whether Kyle forced him to do that. I think you have a situation where you gave the quarterback too much control and you should kind of say, hey, you're going to run this play. Because I think Kyle ran plays that kind of made a receiver run to a spot versus to a particular player. Because like you said, he's kind of forcing Julio too much. He's missing throws. I mean, hell, he made Tyler Gabriel look like a freaking dominant receiver. You know, and Tyler Gabriel's nowhere to be found. And that's, I don't know if that's a play call or if that's just, hey, you know, whatever. We had plays that we've run off the backfield, like, you know, matchups with our running backs. We don't even call those plays anymore. So it's very inconsistent. You know, I agree. I didn't know if we were going to go to the playoffs because of the fact this is how bad this offense is. I mean, we almost scored 9 points, 17 points, 20 points. We're not anywhere near the most explosive team we were last year, and it's definitely showing it. And I think it's because of Matt is kind of like, hey, I don't want these plays, and I think we're suffering for it. That's just me kind of looking at it from the outside in. So something's got to change. I don't know if it's going to be this year or what, but it's a huge problem. 100% agree with that, man. So I don't know if it's necessarily Sarkisian as opposed to just the way that he's still kind of like, I got to pick these calls that Kyle wanted or that Matt wanted, and he's not really getting a chance to kind of call his offense just yet. So something's got to change, honestly. So that's my two cents on that, too. So anyway.
That's on him. If you're the offensive coordinator, you got to run your offense. At some point, I hear what you're saying. You don't want to drastically overhaul. You want to do a little here, a little yours. But over a course of 14 or 16 games, at some point, your offense has to start to take over where they get comfortable with you, and you keep some of the plays you like from Kyle's offense, but you put your stamp on it. If you're still dealing with that in week 15 and week 16, then that's on you as offensive play caller. And the other piece, too, is Julio is a monster. Why does he not get more red zone touches? I mean, throw him a fade, for God's sake, or something. I don't understand the play calling. I don't understand how you have a dude that big, and you totally – it's like Mohamed Sanu is their red zone target when you got Julio on the other side. That doesn't happen for a Hopkins, for a Dez Bryant, for an Antonio Brown, for all these other, you know, wide receivers in the game. You got to make Julio the focal point, especially in the red zone. That, to me, is baffling.
I mean, whenever you said that Dirk Koetter versus Jameis Winston, Jameis is going to win that, who's going to win versus Carson Sarkisian and Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan's gonna win that. Bro.
Oh, Matt Ryan's
so you
win.
Can't be
that's
like
true.
you're not gonna be like, yo, you're gonna run this. Man, Matt's gonna call whatever he wants to call, you know. And I think Sarkisian is really because he's been calling plays and Matt's been missing throws. Now you got to reassess. I got to do a different call to kind of make sure that he can do this throw, and the offense is off. So that's what I see.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, look at this, like, man,
I can see
this guy. Matt missed a throw. Well, now I got to call this play to kind of, you know, now I got to run the ball because we're overthrowing this, and then he threw three straight times. It's just terrible. It's bad. Robert probably pulling out his hair out because we're talking Falcons, but that's what we do. But we talk about sports here. Anyway, I'll talk more about
put it on the top
the game too, bro. I think it's kind of a two-part process and a two-part problem too. So someone's got to get figured out.
I agree.
Bottom line. All right.
Yep.
This is a great topic, and this is about the NFL catch rule. And I guess should it be changed or adjusted is the question here too, because there's been a lot of interesting controversial calls. That is affecting some really, you know, good games here. So what do you think about this, Rob? Should that catch rule be changed, if you will, or what?
Actually, I don't think the catch rule should be changed. And I know it's different from the college level, the high school level, every other level of football when they look at the catch rule. But I think it should be a little bit more difficult in the NFL. This is a professional sports league. And I think really where most of the confusion, I know we're talking about really particularly the Patriots and the Steelers game, and I think a lot of viewers look at it as, well, he crossed the plane with the football. And really that rule applies to if you are running into the end zone, not catching into the end zone. If you have the football, you're running into the end zone, the ball crosses the plane, that is a touchdown. So I'm one of the few people that don't think anything needs to be done to the catch rule. I think it definitely needs to be a little bit harder, a little bit more difficult. I like the 2 feet inbound versus the 1 feet inbound in college. This is the National Football League. This is a professional league. But I do think they need to come out with some kind of clarity in explaining the rule. But I don't have any problems with the particular rule as well.
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah, Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson. I got Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant in line one. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, they're rolling over in their grave. I think they should tweak it, and I think you touched on what I was going to say. You know, if you have possession of the ball and you make a football move or take two steps and you extend the ball over, to me that's a touchdown. That, I mean, I hate Pittsburgh, but that's a catch. That's a touchdown. I catch the ball, I run, I'm not contacted, I put it over, and then it moves a little bit because, you know, on the way down, you know, he caught that ball. Sometimes you can't overthink it. If you look at it,
yeah,
and, you know, you, yeah, look at a duck and you call it a duck, that's a catch. You know it's a catch. Dez Bryant was a catch. Calvin Johnson's was a catch. They're getting too far away. Like, if it's in the middle of the field and you're catching it and you're already down and you basically haven't made a move and you're going to the ground and hits the ground, that's not a catch. But if you catch the ball and you have possession and you take two steps and you're following while you do that and it moves a little bit, come on, man, that's a catch. I mean, let's not overanalyze it, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying,
come
let's
on,
not
man.
Overanalyze it. That's a touchdown. That's a catch. That's a small tweak I think they can make. I would keep everything else the same. Well, I agree with Rob, but my thing is, if you cross the plane of the ball with it, with possession, that's a touchdown.
It seems like the Patriots always get the lucky side of a lot of these calls.
Yes.
In these NFL,
yes,
rules, right? The tuck rule.
Somebody's getting paid, man. Somebody's,
right,
getting paid, man.
All the time. All the freaking time. Oh, don't get me started.
All right. I agree with JQ that they should leave it alone, man. They're definitely overanalyzing stuff too, man. Because I don't, you know, we'll be here all day talking about that. All right, mm-hmm. Talk about some Falcons. So apparently Rod had to like balance it out. Talking about the Saints, the Mark Ingram and Kamara, the first RB duo to be on the Saints to make the Pro Bowl since 1975, year of my birth. How far can the Saints go this season? Go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously, I was really shocked to see both the running backs make it to the Pro Bowl. And even though both of them are on pace to be over 1,500 yards from scrimmage each, which is unheard
mm-hmm.
of, they have two running backs on the same team. But I was still shocked to see. I thought Mark Ingram would probably go just because of his actual rushing yards. And then you go with Todd Gurley. But Alvin Kamara has been straight-up phenomenal. He's every time he touches the ball, he's a threat to take it to the house. But still a little shocked that they were able to get both of them in, as we just talked about. First time since 1975, two running backs from the same team. What are those two Cleveland Brown running backs? They didn't even make it together. It was Ernest Biner and what's the other guy's name? Help me out, JQ. I know the Bengals faced him part of the year. Yeah, Mack.
Elvin Mack.
Mack's first
Mack.
Name.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think we all know
who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even that duo didn't make it, and that was a great duo as well. And there's been a lot of great duos. So, kudos to Ingram and Kamara. As far as how far they can go this season, and I may sound like a homer on this particular issue, but when you look at, you know, the Eagles not having Nick Foles, and
mm-hmm.
the Vikings, as great as they've been on the defensive side of the football. And I'm sorry, yeah, Carson Wentz is what I meant. But they're starting Nick Foles for the rest of the season.
Nick Foles is good, too. Crazy.
And
I told you.
And you look at Case Keenum, they played the Giants.
Oh, this shot's fired.
I knew Rob was gonna let me live. I knew Rob was gonna let me live.
Or as JQ always say, stop it. Stop it.
That's exactly right, too. Stop
but anyway,
it.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles playing Nick Foles. The Vikings, as great as they've been on defense and as phenomenal as Case Keenum has been this season, can you trust those guys in the playoffs? And also, the Rams is a second-year quarterback, hasn't played in the playoffs yet. And then you got, if everything holds true, you got Carolina and Atlanta and Matt Ryan and Cam Newton. Now, those two guys have taken their teams to the Super Bowl. If the playoffs hold true as they stand right now in the NFC, there's only one quarterback who's won the Super Bowl, and that's Drew Brees. So you
mm-hmm.
got to give them a chance of possibly getting back there with his experience. And this is a Saints team that can travel now. And it used to be they couldn't
mm-hmm.
go to cold cities and win. But the whole dynamic of their team has changed. When they're healthy on defense, they've
Stop
been good
it.
On defense.
Stop it.
And then, of course, now with the running game and the short passing game now. So this is a team, in my opinion, I may sound like a homer, that has actually a legitimate chance to get to the Super Bowl.
You know what?
I know you want to hear this, Dre. They have a chance.
I know you want to hear this, Dre, but I agree 100% with Rob. and he took the words out of my mouth. Who do you trust? And I trust Drew Brees. And that, he's right. They revamped what they do. You don't have to have Drew Brees throw the ball 50 times to win. You got two Pro Bowlers, and agreeing to the original point, deservedly so. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram have been carrying the mail for that Saints team. If you look at Drew Brees' numbers, he doesn't have those crazy 3-4 touchdown games like he used to have where he had to have it in order for him to even be in the game because the defense is so bad. If they get that secondary healthy with that running game with Drew Brees, I mean, he's never going to be a game manager, but if you're going to call him to put in that role, he's going to excel at it because he's just a fantastic quarterback. To me, it's him, Rodgers, and Brady still for me as a top three.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. That Saints team, the way they're shaped now with that defense and that run game, I think they have the ability to get to the Super Bowl. And Kamara and Ingram have been fantastic this year. They both deserve to go to the Pro Bowl. There's no question.
Let's hold your horses here. Let's not get too crazy, okay? But I will say that that's a huge difference having those two dynamic players. Good call. If Sean Payton doesn't have a meltdown, this is a good squad. Defensively, yeah, they've improved tremendously. So you got to give them some props. And like I said, it is who they trust. You know, we'll see. I like Michael Thomas. They've been playing well. That's the biggest thing. Okay. You should have a run game. You know. You got to see if they can pull it off too. But like I said,
Thomas made the Pro Bowl too.
Can you trust? Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll see. It's gonna be interesting, to say the least. I'm not gonna crap on the Saints. It's gonna be interesting. All right, let's talk about this. Better pro QB, Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold? Let's throw it off to you and start us off, Rob, on this.
It's really weird because I know we talked a little bit about my top 10. In the draft, and I have Josh Rosen going number one and Sam Darnold two. And from a mechanic standpoint and, you know, throwing a football, Josh Rosen looks like he's more ready now. But I think long term, I actually think Sam Darnold has more potential and he may have the it factor more than Rosen does. And even mobility in the pocket, I like Darnold. Sometimes the mechanics are not perfect. But as far as throwing the football and mechanics and the way he looks doing it, then obviously it's Rosen. But I think the it factor definitely goes to Sam Darnold. And Rosen may get picked ahead of Darnold, but I actually think that Darnold will be the better pro quarterback.
You heard it first. Rob standing Hall of Famer. Go ahead.
this is a tough one because Darnold has that almost like Byron Leftwich kind of delivery where it's kind of loops down and kind of long and elongated. That's tough to do in the NFL when you got to get that ball off. And he has the it factor, but sometimes he makes bad decisions and not necessarily Brett Favre bad decisions, but just a little less than that. But that windup gives me pause in the NFL where that rush comes a lot quicker than it does in college. The problem I have with emphatically saying Josh Rosen, to Rob's point, is he has all the ability. But is he going to be Aaron Rodgers or is he going to be Jeff George? And I still struggle with that for me with him because he's borderline with that personality on that cockiness of you have to have that confidence. And it's cool when you're Aaron Rodgers, you have it, and you can make the right place, you can carry yourself a certain way. But is he going to go too far away? Think about it. Jeff George had a cannon, but he was such an idiot that he couldn't get out of his own way. So, but I'm going to go with Rosen only because of the mechanics and the fact that he has the ability to get that ball out quicker. He can make all the throws. But I can't say it's a slam dunk because mentally, I feel like sometimes he leans a lot closer to the Jeff Georges of the world than he does to the Aaron Rodgers of the world.
It's tough, man. I don't trust Darnold, man, because sometimes he makes some boneheaded decisions too, man. You're like, man, this guy looks like the part, but then I don't know if it's just because of the fact that it's kind of tough, like you say, you know, definitely, JQ. It's just like, you know, Rosen looks the part. And like you said, Rob, maybe long term, Darnold is the answer because it's just, I don't know. It just seems like Darnold.
Rosen is definitely more pro ready now. There's no doubt about it.
Questions, yeah, that's the thing.
Right,
it's kind of a question right now too. So we'll go into that. But anyway, it's going to be cool because again, this may be the next. We talk about some good quarterback classes. There's always this is going to be a huge class for that too. So I know we make jokes about Cincinnati, but who knows, JQ, your quarterback may be in the draft coming up too. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen to the Baker Mayfields of the world, how he performs versus Georgia. This is a huge test for him. You know, Lamar Jackson, we've heard about some challenges with that, where he's going to be at too, and what happens obviously with Bortles and what happens with Cleveland too, because we know Cleveland is always up there. We do think that the 49ers have found their guy, Garoppolo, but again, we'll see how that plays out, like we always talk about too. We're going to keep this moving here, guys, because I promise I don't want to go to 12:30. Zeke Elliott, will he have that I'm ready to get back at the league performance like Todd Gurley did against the Seahawks? And that's the question. This is going to be really interesting, too, because Zeke has been chilling, getting warmed up. Is he like, you know, he's got the freaking – is he ready to go, I guess, the question. And I'll throw it to you, JQ.
Listen, that dude looks good, though. I mean, you're going to have some football rustiness if you don't play for 6 or 7 weeks. That's going to be there. But the one position where you can almost do more of a plug and play is at running back.
JQ.
Hey man, that dude looks good. I'm giving credit. That dude worked out. He could have came back and said, you know what? F you NFL, F you media. I'm gonna sit here and eat my cakes and I'm gonna chill out. That dude went and got ripped. He looks. If you saw the stories today about the players in the locker room,
popular,
said, man. Yeah, he looks he looks the part, and I'll give him that. So I mean, he has to be licking his chops watching what Todd Gurley did to that Seattle defense. Coming in with still a chance to help Dallas get to the playoffs. I don't think he has the same game that Gurley has. I think Seattle has, like I picked Seattle to win. I think he still has a good game, but he's not going to have a 4-touchdown game. But, again, you can have a running back come in that knows the system and kind of plug and play him. You can't do that with a wide receiver and a quarterback because of time and other positions on the field. But a running back, when they know how the offensive line blocks and they know the scheme, he can come in and plug and play. So I think he has a good game. I don't think he has a Todd Gurley game, though. So I think he's going to get a loud, you know, roaring ovation there in Dallas Stadium and Jerry World. I think he has a good game.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah, I agree. I think I can't see him matching Todd Gurley's performance. No. I'm going to go. I'm willing to bet $100 that he doesn't have 4 touchdowns in this game. Against the Seahawks, but I definitely think he has a good game, and I think the Cowboys have a very good chance of winning this game against the Seahawks. I mean, we'll have to wait and see how it turns out, but I definitely think he can have a very productive football game with maybe 1 or 2 touchdowns, 90 over 100 yards rushing possibly, and catching a few passes out of the backfield. So I definitely think he has a good game and helps them win this game.
Mm-hmm. Really quick college basketball update. Wagner at Seton Hall for Lou. Go ahead, Rob.
Seton Hall, Kadeem Carrington, 6 for 6 from three-point range tonight with a big win over Wagner. Wire-to-wire to win, 89-68. There's your jersey shout-out from last week, Lou.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to skip on it. Yeah,
Georgetown, tough loss to Syracuse on Saturday. They were winning most of that whole game, and Syracuse came back and beat them. But Patrick Ewing's got that team 9-1. They played a lot of cupcakes, and they beat another one tonight over North Texas, the Mean Green, 75-63. And of course, Creighton, the Blue Jays, another huge win. I think they're ranked number 22 in the country. I mean, they won like 116-62 tonight. We don't have to talk about that. And a preview, American University at Marquette tomorrow. They got, this is to give you guys an idea, they got tickets for sale for that game for $2.
Wow. All right. That's kind of tough, man. So I guess that's folks in the seats. All right. Woo, let's move on. Is Giannis the next LeBron? Antetokounmpo, go ahead for this, JQ. Your thoughts, bro?
I'm not going to put that on him.
Giannis.
I mean, can he get there? I mean, he has the talent, but to say is he the next LeBron, I'm going to say no. I mean, he has the talent to get there, but that's a mouthful to say for him. LeBron is a guy, is a stud in this game. And John, like I said, he has the ability to get there. Well, I'm not going to say that right now. He's going to be the next LeBron. I can't say that. Those are mighty, mighty big shoes to fill.
Rob.
Yeah, and to me, their games are different, too. When you really, you know, Giannis is a man. You're talking about an incredible athlete, long arms. And, you know, LeBron James is more a facilitator. And Giannis is not really, in my opinion, a facilitator. He's more, it's hard, you know, a lot of people may make a lot of calls back for this, but he's almost, Giannis is almost a better Dr. J.
Come on, man.
With the long arms, the way he glides to the air. Oh, and, you know, the NBA really didn't see Dr. J's best days, though. Dr. J's best days were in the ABA. But Giannis, you know, Dr. J wasn't a great outside shooter, and neither is Giannis. You know, he's comfortable in that 20, 19-foot in mid-range game, kind of like Dr. J. But his game more reminds me of a Dr. J with longer arms. He's that kind of athlete as well, like Dr. J was. But he's not a facilitator. LeBron James can almost do everything on the basketball court. Rebound, pass, steal, play defense, blocks, and facilitate, be a point forward. And so I can't put him in LeBron's category.
Mm. It's just not fair.
Wow.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. Okay, all right. Yeah, cool. Let's talk about – I was going to say too the same thing, different personality as far as, like, him just taking over the whole NBA. That's what I think the difference is right now because, you know, he's been the face of the NBA since high school for LeBron. That's kind of tough. Kevin Durant, is he any closer to coming to LeBron with his performance without Curry, Rob?
I'm going to also say no. Obviously, Golden State just is a stud. I mean, they got a lot of talent. And they're doing this kind of without Curry and Draymond Green. Is Durant in the MVP conversation? I think right now he's third. I think I have James Harden, one. I have LeBron James, two. And I have Kevin Durant, number three. But yep. Just as we just talked about with Giannis, when you talk about LeBron's game versus Durant's game, LeBron just does everything. As another Buckeye, I would say JQ Clark Kellogg, LeBron is a stat sheet stuffer.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's going to fill up every category on the scorecard, and that's the difference. And, you know, he can elevate, and we've seen this in the past, where he's elevated some teams with no other all-stars on the team and taken to the finals. And to me, that's what sets him apart.
Nice.
Yeah, but the only difference caveat here is, are you the real MVP? Listen, Kevin Durant has been an MVP. So I'm just saying, you know, that to me is the difference between putting Giannis in that category than putting KD there because KD has shown and proven and has the hardware to back it up. I think he is because, don't get me wrong, Golden State has a ton of talent. They are talented from top to bottom from 1 to 15 on that roster. But when you lose Curry and you lose Draymond and you come out there and do that, that's losing a lot of talent and still picking up everybody around you. Yeah, you still got Klay, but – those two guys are, you know, monsters, focal points of your team. So I will give Kevin Durant the nod, but I agree with you. I still have KD third. James Harden has just been ridiculous, and so has LeBron.
51
but
points.
Kevin Durant, yeah, Kevin Durant, that's so silly. Kevin Durant is still showing people, like, hey, don't sleep on me because I went to a loaded team. I'm still Kevin Durant. So I'll put him closer to inching closer to LeBron and Giannis because he's shown improvement in this league. I want to give Giannis the benefit of some time to grow and not have that thrust upon him so early in his you know, NBA career.
Nice. Nice. Good call. I agree. All right. This is really cool here as far as the next topic because we'll get a chance to let JQ talk about his team here. And, you know, the Lakers retiring both of Kobe's jerseys. I think is he the first player in NBA history? I want to say that was the thing to have that happen, but
I
yeah,
think so.
I thought I saw about that. Yeah, even I don't think they retired Michael's jersey whenever he had the second coming back. But yeah, right. What do you think about that? Was that a great moment for you, JQ?
It was. I enjoyed it. And you knew he was gonna get that recognition. But one time for Allen Iverson for having the picture of Kobe on his shirt from the year that Kobe and Shaq beat the Sixers for the title. I mean, that kind of level of respect that you get from a competitor, and the Tracy McGrady's and all the people that come out for him. I mean, it's a combination of just, you know, telling him how much he meant to, you know, to the fans and to that organization. I thought it was really cool, and I thought it was fitting. You win three championships in one jersey, two in the other, you know, 10 All-Stars here, 8 there. Like, they both deserve to be retired. There's no question about it. I mean, you could say that, you know, it's all the indulgence of L.A. retiring a guy's jersey, two separate jerseys, but if you look at his career in those two separate jerseys, can you really argue them or retire both of them? I don't think you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob?
Well, yeah, definitely Kobe. Hell of a basketball career, hell of a career with the Lakers. And obviously, You guys know I'm not a Lakers fan and never really been a Kobe fan, but you give respect where
he's
respect is due. And he's
I'm not a fan either.
He's been a phenomenal NBA basketball player.
Right.
Definitely one of the top 15 NBA players of all time. So definitely well deserved.
Respect him. We respect him, bro.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get you. It's a lot of people I hate that respect. I get it.
It's going to be a hard time, bro. Very, very well deserved. Like I said, you can't knock what he did and how he's changed the impact of the game too. And he's been a phenomenal player, as Rob said too. So that's what you got. You definitely got to give him his due because he's retired freaking, and he's the only player that I know in history. That's amazing. Bro, why we got to go to the top? The top. Let's grade Lonzo's ball against the Warriors here real quick. Go ahead, Rob. Yeah, I'll let you get on there and I'll let JQ.
Well, I mean. If you look at that game, I think he ended up with about 16.6 assists. And for the most part, his game in regulation was kind of blah. And in overtime, he really was, was really intense and really looking for his own shot and was, he didn't have any assists in overtime and was really scoring a basketball in the overtime standpoint. He really showed some aggression there in overtime. But, to me, that's my only comments. And I know – I mean, the only reason I include these Lonzo Ball topics is because this is what the world is talking about. He's been graded on almost every game. And
right.
But just from my standpoint, you want to if you're a Lakers fan, you want to see him put it together for an entire basketball game, and we don't get to see that. And he's still a rookie. I think if you're also a Lakers fan, you have to be realistic too. And,
right, I understand that. Yeah.
So he is still a rookie. And that's going to take some time. Everybody's just not going to come into the league and dominate from day one.
Mm-hmm. Right, and he's still dealing with, his dad and all that boisterousness that he puts out there that puts that spotlight on him. So part of that is on him for not reining his dad in and saying, hey, I'm my own man, I'm grown, chill, and let him do the speaking for him. But you're right. As a Lakers fan, you get encouraged by those moments, but he's still trying to figure out that, can I be aggressive when I should be passive? When I should try to get more people involved, when I should look for my own shot. And that's tough for a point guard, let alone a rookie point guard. So I'm not going to necessarily kill him, but I agree with you, Rob. We're looking for not only a whole game, but a whole game, back-to-back whole games. You know what I mean? Where you don't go a week where you can't play in the fourth quarter, then magically when you go play in New York, you look like, oh, that's the guy we took number two. Like, we need to see that more often than not. So I still think he's trying to figure it out. He's still trying to figure out his place in the world and how to manage his dad, and maybe his dad being with Dwayne with his brothers might end up being the best thing for him so he can kind of be his own man, so to speak. So, I'm encouraged by it. I like to see that fire and that intensity, but I agree with you, Rob. I got to see it more often and more consistently.
Nice.
Big road win for the Lakers tonight over the Rockets.
Right.
Kyle Kuzma, 38 points, ended the Rockets' 14-game winning streak.
You notice that, though. He's playing better now that dad is more involved with the Suns doing other things and not being so much on him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a correlation.
Yeah, I agree.
Dude's in the NBA now. You got to stop being the AAU dad.
Right, be an NBA dad, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw that Isaiah Thomas and Chris Carter on Fox Sports 1 piece they talked about it. It was really good if you get a chance to check it out. Where Isaiah Thomas was talking about his mom coming to the game, and she was packing her gun. They were getting drunk because they just weren't used to being in the NBA yet. They were still used to that Chicago ball and some of it at Indiana where they could get away with those things and they had to kind of modify, their personalities and the way they conducted themselves. It was really close, if you listen, LeVar, take heed to that and don't brush it off. Like, you need to do some tweaking to help you and yourself.
Yep.
Yep.
Good deal. All right, I know we got to do these bowl predictions, but I'd rather just do like the top 10 players unless you want to get to the bowl predictions. It's kind of your call, guys, because this is going to be the last topic because, we got to wrap this thing up too. So
I'll
leave it in your hands what y'all want to do. Go ahead.
Let's do the bowl predictions since they're coming up and we have longer of the NBA season to talk about our favorite 10 NBA players. We have a lot of time to talk NBA, but I don't want to miss some games that may happen before we get back on the air next week. You know what I mean?
Okay, let me pull this up because that was the one thing that did not let me push it into the into the thing. All right, let's see here. Really quickly. Wow. What is it? Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl? Temple at Florida.
That's hilarious. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead with that one. Call it. Who starts with Rob? I'll let Rob start up and you finish it for each one, JQ.
Florida International, just because the game's in Florida.
Agreed.
Okay. Bahamas Bowl, UAB at Ohio.
I'm going with the Mac. Let's go Ohio.
I'm going with UAB. I'm going with UAB and a nail biter.
You knew I was going with Ohio. Stop it.
Yeah, cool. I knew that was
a nail biter.
UAB still got a football team, bro? That's crazy. No, okay.
They
sure.
just got it back.
that's a joke, guys. No. Send all your emails to Rob. All right. The famous Ohio Idaho Potato Bowl, Central Michigan at Wyoming. Wow. Crazy. Rob?
I'm going Wyoming, Josh Allen. You better do it.
This one's kind of tough, too. Yeah, I know there was some talk about if he was going to play or not. I think he is. But I'm going to go with Central Michigan. I'm going to go with your Mac.
Yeah, but I'm not going to pick anything that has Michigan in the name. You already know that. But
you picked Detroit over the Bengals.
I mean, that's a gimme. I mean, that's just ignorant.
Oh,
I mean, that's one of those ones that you just. He does have me there, but that's one of those ones where you just can't take the Bengals in that game. But honestly, Josh Allen has to come out and play. And we talked about it earlier in the season. Against his best competition, he sucked. So if you want to put a lasting impression on your college career as you go into the draft, you got to play in that game and you got to be dominant. So the pressure's on you, Josh Allen. I'm picking you. We'll talk about it next week and see if it works out.
500 tickets for $10, just to let you guys know if you want to go to that game. Birmingham
Bowl,
Texas Tech at South Florida. Texas Tech at South Florida. Go ahead. Birmingham Bowl. Go ahead, JQ.
Oh, my God. Jesus, that game is going to be like 60 to 53. I'm going to take Texas Tech. I think they're going to have a better caliber of athlete than South Florida has. But I can see South Florida winning. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a shootout. No defense in that game. Straight Arena League.
One game.
I'm going with Charlie Strong in South Florida.
Charlie Strong, we love you, bro. We love you, Charlie Strong. Keep it up, bro. Texas did you wrong. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Wow, San Diego State at Army. This is an interesting matchup. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm going with San Diego State in a nail biter.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Army in the ball control offense. San Diego State might only get like 3 or 4 possessions in that game.
There it is.
I'm going to go with Army in the triple option.
You get 3 yards every play.
Yep.
Yeah, JQ's favorite team in the past for knocking off Michigan, the Dollar General Bowl, Appalachian State at Toledo. This is great. Go ahead, Rob.
You already
know
about
JQ in Ohio, Toledo winning this game.
Yes, sir. Let's go Ohio.
Oh, gosh. The Hawaii Bowl, Fresno State at Houston, Rob.
That's a good one.
This is a tough one. Fresno State is much improved, but I think Houston's got better personnel. Ed Oliver, defensive tackle. He's a beast, only a sophomore. I'm going to go with Houston in a close one.
Same reasons. Ed Oliver, game changer.
Zach's Heart of Dallas Bowl, West Virginia, Utah. Go ahead, JQ.
I'm going with Will Greer in West Virginia. They have glimpses, and they've let me down when I picked them before. But come on, Will Greer, get it together, brother. I'm going to go with West Virginia. They're going to burn the couches in Morgantown. I think West Virginia wins.
I think West Virginia also by a touchdown.
The Quick Lane Bowl, have no clue what this is. Duke at Northern Iowa. Go ahead, JQ.
Jesus. Duke, I mean, I don't know a thing about Northern Iowa. I just plead ignorance to that one. They have been, but, you know, Duke is still an ACC team, and I'm going to go with the ACC.
Yeah, I like Duke in this one as well, by a touchdown as well. You mean to tell me the Poland Weed Eater Bowl is not on here?
No, it's not on here, bro. Not yet. The Cactus Bowl, Kansas State at UCLA. This is good, Kansas State and UCLA. What say you?
I know we talked about Josh Rosen, but I think UCLA, yep. I think UCLA is an incomplete team. I'm going to go with Bill Snyder and that Kansas State defense.
Yeah, Rob.
I'm going to go with UCLA in a real close game, 35-31. Let's see if Josh Rosen, same thing JQ said about Allen. Let's see if a Rosen shines in a bowl game.
Yep.
This is crazy. This game, the walk-on Independence Bowl, that's crazy. Southern Miss at Florida State. I think Rob's going to
Florida State.
He's, Rob.
Yeah, I like Florida State in this game, even though they got a new coach. I think they're just going to have too much talent for Southern Miss.
Absolutely. Man, all my Seminole fans, they better win that game because I'm going to clown if they lose to Southern Miss. I'm going to take Florida State, though.
Yeah, I better win because you don't want to hear JT's mouth. Let's talk about the new era Pinstripe Bowl. Iowa at Boston College. Good game. Rob.
I like Iowa in this one. It's going to be close, but I like Iowa.
I don't want to go with the Big Ten, but I like Boston College. Boston College has been really sneaky. Playing teams really close in the ACC coming down the stretch of this season. I think Boston College is just a no-name team. If you take Iowa out of Iowa City, they're not the same team. I'm going to go with Boston College.
The Foster's Farms Bowl. That's crazy. Arizona at Purdue. That's crazy. Rob.
I'm going to go Arizona on this one by two touchdowns.
I think Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona by two touchdowns.
Arizona, well, yeah. Khalil Tate, I believe, is their quarterback. Looked like a young Michael Vick. Arizona.
Nice. Last game, the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl, Texas at Missouri. JQ.
Ooh, I tell you what, Drew Locke in that Missouri offense. The Texas defense has played better down the stretch, but that offense, I think, from Missouri, I think they I kind of want to take Texas, but I'm going to go with the quarterback there. I'm going to go with Drew Locke. I'm going to go with Missouri.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a game I've gone back and forth on, too, because of the same reasons. Drew Locke has been phenomenal at throwing the football. Missouri has won six straight football games. But when you look really close at it, most of them were against cupcake opponents with a lot of cream puffs. And so I'm going to go – I think this game is going to be really competitive, but I'm going to go with Texas winning this game somewhere around 34-27.
Wrap up this edition.
I can see that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate all of you all for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Keep up with what's going on in the sports world. Let us know how you feel about the show. If you disagree with what we're saying or agree with us, we're fine with either one. Let us know what you think. So definitely tune in on next Wednesday night as well, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, of course, Hawaiian time will be 5 p.m. For those of you all down in the Dominican Republic, that is going to be 12 p.m. midnight next week. So definitely join us on Wednesday night. You might even throw a little soccer or some baseball in there for you, Dominican Republic.
He's lying. We are not talking about any soccer or baseball next week. We might talk about soccer and baseball in April. We ain't going to talk about it in December. That's a full-blown lie. But I appreciate
you. Have we ever even talked about soccer on the show?
Yeah, that's a full-blown lie.
We're talking about United. That's crazy.
Oh,
that's
man.
Crazy, Tom.
I appreciate y'all for listening to the show. And I'm telling you, Florida State, y'all better do it because you got to remember, I'm a rattler. So I hear a lot of my friends that are Seminole fans, and they give me a lot of grief about my Buckeyes. If y'all lose to the Eagles, because Brett Favre is not walking through that door. If y'all lose to them, oh, my goodness, I am going to clown on a whole other level. So y'all be easy. Yeah, man, listen, you can't lose to Southern Miss. I'm going to clown. I'm just putting clowning has been announced.
So,
I can Florida State fans say anything about Ohio State, and they're like 6-6.
Man, they talk good stuff about me all the time because of Urban Meyer being with Florida. They give me all kind of crap. We overrated this, that, and the other.
Oh,
y'all bet not lose to Southern Miss is all I'm going to say. That's going to be my last thought. Appreciate y'all for listening.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll see you next week.
Oh, man. You guys keep me young. I love it, man. Again, fellas, if I don't talk to you, I'm sure we're going to text each other. Have a great holiday. Please be safe, America, as well as your travel. We're just hoping that the power's back on, but for the airport. That was crazy. But, again, gentlemen, please be safe. Much love to your fam and everything like that. Guys, America, we'll talk to you guys next week. Wednesday, preferably.
Merry
we'll see
Christmas, everybody.
That's time to, but to happy Kwanzaa, happy Festivus, Merry Christmas, all that stuff, Hanukkah. Peace out, guys. Be good.
Yes, sir. Merry